The Jets lose an absolute heartbreaker in Minnesota. How did it happen, and what does this loss mean? That's what we'll talk about today on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Monday, December 5th, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, thanking you for making the show your first listen or first watch every day. This podcast is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. If you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. Helps the channel out, and it helps other Jets fans find the podcast. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Well, today we're here to recap a Jets loss. The Jets fell yesterday to the Minnesota Vikings 27-22. The Jets' record this season falls to 7-5, an absolutely heartbreaking loss. And I'm sorry, yesterday I did not do a postcast episode like I've been doing through most of the season. You may have noticed it late last week. I was pretty sick. I don't know exactly what I had, but I was not feeling all that well near the end of last week. So I took it easy yesterday, so please forgive me. But I am back today as we talk about this loss, a loss that's so frustrating on so many levels. In fact, I think this kind of loss is like the most agonizing type of loss because, you know, if you get blown out, you reach a certain point, maybe in like the first quarter or the second quarter, maybe even the third quarter, where you just realize it's not your day and you realize your team's not going anywhere. So it takes some of the sting out of it when, you know, you give up another score. At some point, you just kind of give it up and you say, it's, you know what, it's not going to happen today for the Jets. The game, like a game like yesterday, is so different because you're every time you're on the verge of throwing in the towel, something happens and you think the Jets have a shot in this game. I mean, even if you go back to the quarterback sneak where Mike White scored, you know, initially that was marked short of the goal line in the fourth quarter. And at that point, you're like, okay, well, it's over after they stop them. And then the replay comes and they give the Jets a touchdown. It's like, oh, wow, they do have a chance. And that was the case from when the Jets went down 20-3 in the second quarter. It was the case through much of the second half. It was the case after the Vikings scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter to go up 2 scores on the only drive Minnesota even put together in the second half. It's just really frustrating because you every time you're about to say this game is gonna this is over, the Jets can't win, they raise your hopes again, and every time you feel like it's right there, it gets pulled away from you. It's just so frustrating. And the other reason it's frustrating is the bigger picture, because we're looking at the type of season where it's gonna be like a razor thin margin for the Jets this year. They're either going to narrowly make the playoffs or they're going to narrowly miss the playoffs. And in a situation like that, you're going to look back at some very key moments. And if the Jets make the playoffs, we'll look back at games like the Miracle in Cleveland week 2. We'll look back to the comeback in Pittsburgh. We'll look at the huge win over Buffalo. We'll look at those as like the turning points of the season. But if the Jets narrowly miss the playoffs, and they're still in the seventh position in the AFC, so they still have a shot. But if the Jets narrowly miss the playoffs this year, you're going to look back at the game in New England where they gave up the big punt return for a touchdown. You know, the game where the offense could not do anything, the game that got Zach Wilson benched. Yesterday's game is another game you're going to look at because there were so many different things that could have gone different in that game. You know, you look at the defense, a unit that's been so great through much of the season, and a unit that absolutely dominated the second half of this game. The Vikings could not generate anything except for one drive in the second half. But they go out and they give up, you know, they give up 27 points. Now, 3 of them came off an early interception, but they just don't do the job. They give up 20 points in the first half. A very uncharacteristic effort. And it's not like Minnesota was making a ton of splash plays. Minnesota was 7 for 11 on third down in the first half. And on one of the 4 they did not convert, they ended up picking it up on fourth down anyway. They ended up, you know, converting the fourth down on one of the few times the Jets stopped them on third down. So is the defense just not stepping up in the big moments? Pass rush was actually not bad during the game, but they could not get the key sack. And some of this was because Minnesota, let's be honest, Kirk Cousins showed some toughness in the pocket, delivering accurate passes while being hit. Justin Jefferson, obviously, best receiver in the NFL this year. You know, Minnesota did some things that hurt the Jets as well, but you did not get great performances from your key players. Sauce Gardner, I thought, had an uncharacteristic rough game. DJ Reed had an uncharacteristic rough game. Not that they were dominated, but they did not play at the level you're expecting them to play. And then, you know, you had some issues at the safety position. Jordan Whitehead and I think LaMarcus Joyner, I think, both had kind of rough games, which does happen with those two. Those two have been pretty inconsistent through much of the season. But your defense did not show up in this game. You look at the offense, you know, Mike White got off to a slow start. The offensive line did not do a great job protecting White in the early going. White had a bad first half. And, you know, it's funny because at halftime of this game, it kind of felt like the Mike White balloon had burst. And then he came back and led the team in the second half. But there were so many key moments where the offense did not deliver. I mean, how many trips to the red zone did the Jets have? 6, I believe. And then came away with one touchdown. They kept settling for field goals. And in a game like that, the focus always goes to the offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur. And it's not totally unfair. I feel like what happens, though, is people think it's like 60% Mike LaFleur. The offensive coordinator always gets too much blame. But Mike LaFleur has to take some of the blame for this, because how many times in the red zone was he calling some like long developing play that was, you know, going east and west? And in the condensed part of the field, that just doesn't work. Or, you know, even in the final sequence where, you know, he goes empty, you know, three plays from the 1 yard line, one run with Bam Knight, who had a really good game, going empty on the final play. And then you have individual failures. You know, Corey Davis, first series of the game, ball hits him in the hands and it pops up and goes for an interception. A ball that was not that accurately thrown by Mike White, but still a catchable ball for Corey Davis. Elijah Moore not getting his second foot down on a key sequence. How many drops did Tyler Conklin have in this game? And Conklin is Conklin. I mean, at this point, you kind of know what you're getting from Conklin. I don't know why Uzama's not playing more than Conklin should be on the bench more. He's been a disaster this year for the most part. He's had a couple decent games, but Conklin's at the part of like one catastrophe a game at least. In this game, it was like four. You know, there was a third down play he didn't catch, a fourth down play he didn't catch, a ball in the red zone that could have put the Jets in scoring range he didn't catch. At some point, something's had to happen with Tyler Conklin. And even Braxton Berrios, who failed to come up with a key fourth down play that would have won the Jets the game in the final 2 minutes. He had a drop on fourth down. You know, he's not really having that great of a season. And that's the thing, is you look back on this, there's so many different things you can point to that say, if the Jets had just done this one thing, none of the other stuff would have mattered. And that's one of the things that makes it difficult to assign blame here, because there's no one reason the Jets lost this game. You know, you can point to Mike White's first half. You can point to the defense's first half. How about the one drive the defense gave up in the second half? Defense that was dominant aside from one drive. But on that one drive, the Vikings marched right down the field. Jets had bust after bust in coverage. They could not fill the run gaps. And some of the people who are to blame did have good moments. You know, Mike White had a pretty solid second half. I'd say he had a better than a solid second half. The defense, again, dominated in the second half. So it's not like, you know, the Jets went out there and played terrible, terrible football for 60 minutes. They just played terrible, terrible football enough of the time to lose. And when you look back on this season, a few months down the line, a few years down the line, I hope that this is not the kind of game you look back on with regret, because this is very much the type of game you look back on when you miss the playoffs by a game or two, and you say, man, how did the Jets lose this game? And really, there's only one guy who I think you can say leaves this game feeling absolutely great about the way he played, and that was Greg Zuerlein, who made 5 field goals, including a 60-yarder. I mean, he was the one guy who really came to play for 60 minutes. Outside of that, the Jets' effort just was not good enough. The Jets' effort was good in some areas, but it wasn't good enough overall. But of course, a lot of the focus is always going to be on the quarterback position. As we continue this Monday game recap episode of the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll go more in-depth and talk about how Mike White performed and why he should remain the starting quarterback for the Jets going forward. That's as we continue breaking down the Jets and Vikings here on this Monday Locked On Jets. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by Total Wine & More. This holiday season, find what you love at Total Wine & More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite Cabernet or Chardonnay, or the perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. You will love what you find, only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Be responsible. Drink B21. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by SimpliSafe. At Locked On Jets, we believe home should be where you and your family feel safest, especially over the holidays. This season, give yourself and your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system, SimpliSafe. And right now, SimpliSafe is offering Locked On Jets listeners 40% off a new security system. Don't put this off. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from SimpliSafe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real so you can get higher priority police response. SimpliSafe is whole home security with advanced sensors in every room, window, and door, HD security cameras for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion that alert you only when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats from your home. 24/7 professional monitoring service costs less than $1 a day. That's under half of the price of traditional home security systems. So don't miss your chance to save big. Save 40% on any new system at simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL today. That's SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listener, first watch every day. This show's free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Jets lost to the Vikings 27-22 yesterday in Minnesota. A tough loss. And of course, most of the focus always goes to the quarterback position, where it's everybody always wants to say the quarterback was great or the quarterback was terrible. In this game, Mike White really was neither. I don't think you could say he was great by any stretch of the imagination. I mentioned it in the first segment. His first half was not very good. Now, there were a lot of balls that could have been caught by receivers, balls that hit the receivers in the hand. But I think one of the most overused pieces of analysis, and incorrect pieces of analysis, frankly, is the idea that if a ball hits the receiver in the hands, it should be a catch. That's not always the case. Sometimes receivers have to make really big adjustments, bigger adjustments that they should have to make, and it makes the catch much tougher than it should be. And Mike White's, especially in the first half, his placement on his passes was not that great. His receivers had to adjust, and some of these were incomplete. And it was part Mike White's fault and part the receiver's fault. I don't think you can blame either side 100%. I think both of them have to take some of the blame. And it prevented the Jets from really doing what they needed to do on offense. And beyond that, you know, the offensive line did not do a great job protecting Mike White in the first half. And we know, like, Mike White's not a guy who's good. He has a ton of playmaking ability in him. Mike White's a guy who can get out there and run the offense. And it felt to me like as the game went on, the better Mike White got. It especially felt like in the fourth quarter, he was really starting to get comfortable. If the game lasted five quarters, the Jets probably would have won the game because Mike White was playing pretty well. I mean, let's take a look at his stat line. His stat line's kind of interesting. It's 31 for 57, 369 yards, 6.5-yard average, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So a lot of mixed stuff in there. I mean, 369 yards is good, but it took him 57 passing attempts, so only a 6.5% average. 2 interceptions is bad, but you could argue neither of those were really his fault. The first one was kind of on one of those blame-to-go-around passes where he kind of threw off target for Corey Davis, but Davis probably could have caught it. And then the second one was just kind of a desperation heave. So, you know, I don't think he did a bad job protecting the football. I think that's actually more or less what you might expect of Mike White at this point. I've said it many times that most weeks the Jets just need functional quarterback play. If they get that, they're going to be in good shape. I think yesterday they needed a little bit more than functional quarterback play. And White, you know, almost got the Jets there. I don't think it was a terrible performance by Mike White, but more than anything, it's not as much about whether Mike White is good or Mike White is bad. The question is really, is he the best quarterback right now? Because even if Mike White's bad, if he's better than the other two guys, I guess three if you want to count Streveler, but if he's better than the other two guys, he should be playing. And I left yesterday's game feeling like there's really not any doubt that Mike White's the best quarterback the Jets have right now. Now, it doesn't mean Zach Wilson can't eventually become a better quarterback, but Mike White, if nothing else, can run the offense effectively. He can move the ball. And that is really going to be good enough for the Jets most weeks. Again, it wasn't enough yesterday when the defense had an off day. It wasn't enough yesterday when, you know, there were some miscues, some of which were on Mike White, some of which were on other guys. But this was not a disaster performance. And I think, like, it takes a disaster for me to really believe the Jets should make a quarterback change. At this point, I think the definition of disaster has changed because I don't even think a bad game against Buffalo next week should bring a change. I think we've seen Mike White show he can move the ball at a higher level than Zach Wilson and a higher level than Joe Flacco in non-garbage time situations. You know, Flacco posted some very nice numbers, but a lot of them came when the game was no longer competitive. I think when the Jets defense comes to play, when they do their job, a game like yesterday from Mike White's probably going to be good enough most weeks. It wasn't yesterday, and it was not, you know, it was not a sterling performance. It was not the type of performance that you say, wow, he played great, the way you may have said after he played against the Chicago Bears. And there were plenty of errant throws. There were plenty of moments where Mike White wasn't great. But over the course of the offseason, the Jets can make a decision on whether Mike White's their guy at quarterback, even for the short term. For me, it's almost to the point where there needs to be some sort of just like terrible streak of like 2 to 3 games before I'd even think about benching Mike White, because we still saw this offense play at a higher level than we've seen in a lot of weeks with Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco. So, you know, and he got some help. Bam Knight really starting to look like a player. You know, Bam Knight is playing so well that it's almost like, why was this guy not in the lineup sooner? Especially after Breece Hall went down. So he got some help. Garrett Wilson looks like a star as well. Garrett Wilson, another huge game. Garrett Wilson's now on an 1,100-yard pace. I know he stepped out. I know there were a couple plays where, you know, there was a play on the goal line where he kind of lost one-on-one, you know, stopped running his route. Garrett Wilson had another phenomenal game. So it's not like Mike White was alone in helping the Jets move. But I think going forward, at least for the short term, for the rest of this season, it's going to be very difficult to argue to me that Mike White's not the best quarterback for this team right now. Now, Hedger, on the Locked On Jets podcast, we got to break down what this game means going forward. Because the Jets, despite the loss, maintained their playoff seeding, so maybe it's not all bad. We'll talk about that more as we continue this Monday game recap edition of the Locked On Jets podcast. Now, if you were a daily fantasy player who had Mike White throwing for more than 350 yards yesterday, you at least salvaged something because White did throw for over 350 yards. If you play daily fantasy, let me tell you about Prize Picks. Here's how it works. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people, it's just you versus the projections available. And Prize Picks offers projections on any sport you want to watch. So if it's too stressful to play daily fantasy in the NFL because you're worried about how it impacts the Jets, you can also play NBA, NHL, college football, men's and women's college basketball, soccer, esports, tennis, MMA, boxing, and somehow disc golf. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They have safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the PrizePix app or go to prizepix.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. So if you deposit $50, PrizePix gives you another $50. Deposit $100, PrizePix gives you another $100. And don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100 using PrizePix. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Monday, talking about the Jets after a loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Jets entered Sunday the number 7 seed in the AFC, so they controlled the last playoff spot. And I've long been a vocal critic of the AFC or the NFL expanding to 7 playoff teams per conference. And you know, this year there's a chance the Jets may end up getting the 7 seed, so it shows what I know. Here's the thing, though. Despite the loss, the Jets are still in 7th place in the AFC, so in a way, maybe it didn't hurt them that much. Although, the loss hurt the Jets. There are a couple reasons the loss hurt the Jets. First of all, the Jets are now 2 games behind Buffalo. They would have entered next week's game with a chance to pass Buffalo, because the Jets are playing the Bills on the road next week. So if the Jets had won this game and they got into 8-4, they would have had a chance to pass Buffalo in the standings, both in the division and the conference. Now that's off the table. And now, for any realistic chance of winning the division, and I know that's always been a reach this year, I know the division's really never been the expectation, even as the Jets have gone on this run, but for the Jets to have any shot in the division right now, they're going to have to win next week against Buffalo, which was probably true anyway, but it makes their margin for error the rest of the way so much smaller, and it comes close to taking the East off the table, which, you know, you may not care about because you may have never really viewed the East as a realistic possibility. I always like to dream, so my hope was that the Jets would be able to win the East. It's a tougher road now that they're 2 out with 5 to play. They do have head-to-head games left against Miami and Buffalo, though, so there still is a shot, but it's a much tougher road now in the division. I think the bigger reason, though, is even though the Jets remain in the 7th position in the AFC, they squandered a real opportunity to take control of that playoff spot because they remain a game up on New England. And of course, they lacked the tiebreaker there because the Patriots swept them. So if there's a tie between the Jets and the Patriots, New England gets the spot. And New England remains one game behind the Jets. Buffalo, of course, beat New England last Thursday night. You want it to open some separation, especially when New England has the tiebreaker. But the same goes with the Chargers. The Chargers lost as well. They fell to the Raiders to fall 6-6. And so we all know the Chargers have their issues. It doesn't matter who the coach is. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I can't explain it. The Chargers have their issues coming up short. The Chargers have been chronic underachievers for decades now. They never play up to their talent level. I can't explain it. But I don't know if you want to depend on that continuing. Because, again, there's no real correlation. There's no real good explanation for why the Chargers continue to fall short. And even though they fell short against the Raiders, I mean, you want to take care of your own business. And the Jets had a chance to really open up some breathing room. They could have had a two-game lead for the seventh seed. And that's really where this opportunity was squandered. So, you know, in the short run, you could say, well, the Jets maintained their playoff positioning. And that's true. But I'm not really focused about the here and now of today. What I'm focused on is where we're going to be at near the end of the season. At the end of the season. Because, as I said at the beginning, it's going to come down to like a game or two. Jets are either going to make the playoffs by a game or they're going to miss the playoffs by a game. And that's really the way it's shaking out. And when you miss the playoffs by a game, it's the worst feeling. Because you look back on a game like this and you say there were about 10 different things. And if just one of them had gone right, we'd be in the playoffs. I mean, that's the way it was back in 2015. There were some games you could look back to. That was the last time the Jets seriously threatened for the playoffs. They missed it by a game. Horrible Week 17 game in Buffalo, which in itself had about 10 different turning points that could have gone the Jets' way. And there were other games that season. And this is just the kind of game that I feel like sticks with you. Now, again, the Jets have had some very good moments this year. They've had some games that maybe they've gotten away with that they should not have. So maybe this is just a case of things evening out, but you leave this game frustrated. It almost would have been better if the Jets had gotten blown out, because then you could say, well, you know what? Every team just has that game where nothing clicks. And that's the way it looked like it was going to we were heading toward near the end of the second quarter. It just is frustrating that the Jets fought back, that they showed that fight, and were not able to finish it. And you can't blame one person again, because there was any one of these things, if any one of these things had gone right, you'd ignore everything else, and we'd be very happy today. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. As always, if you enjoy the show, hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. If you're listening on a podcast source, please give the show a 5-star review. If you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. These things help the channel out and help other Jets fans find the podcast. Try and enjoy your Monday. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.